Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. Advocates for Rhode Island cities and towns are criticizing the budget passed yesterday by the House Finance Committee. Rhode Island Public Radio's political reporter Ian Donis says the Finance Committee reduced a plan to aid local communities.
The Finance Committee cut back a hike in local aid proposed by Governor Lincoln Chafee in his budget. The associate head of the Rhode Island League of Cities and Towns, Peter Schaefer, also serves on Woonsocket's Budget Commission. He says the reduced aid will hurt struggling communities.
For Woonsocket, I mean, this is $1.4 million, which is it's a big nut. It's close to what the supplemental tax is on top of that.
Chafee's office says many communities already budgeted the aid they expected from the governor's budget. Legislators say they had to make the cuts due to lower-than-expected state revenue. Ian Donis, Rhode Island Public Radio.
The Rhode Island Department of Education is preparing for a large number of next year's senior class to fail their second attempt at meeting a new test-based graduation requirement. According to a state contract with testing company Measured Progress, RIDE has ordered 3,500 versions of a retest for seniors. That represents a majority of the roughly 4,000 seniors who will attempt the test for a second time this fall. The Department of Education says it has no estimate for the number of students who will actually need to take the test a third time, but it has to be prepared for any possibility. Rhode Island is spending roughly $1 million to develop and administer two additional rounds of testing to give students a chance to improve their scores enough to graduate. The federal government has given Rhode Island nearly $40 million so far to help in recovery from Superstorm Sandy. The Federal Emergency Management Agency says three-quarters of the funds were distributed in response to more than 1,000 claims filed with the National Flood Insurance Program. More than $5 million went to state and local governments and nonprofit organizations. More than $2.6 million in disaster recovery loans were given to homeowners and local business owners. And the Boston Bruins lost in overtime last night in their Stanley Cup series against the Chicago Blackhawks. As Doug Tribou reports, that means the Bruins will head back to Chicago with the series tied at two games apiece.
Chicago scored first, and the Bruins rallied to tie it up three times, but never took the lead. Patrice Bergeron led Boston with two goals, but Blackhawks defenseman Brent Seabrook tallied the game winner. Bruins goalie Tuukka Rask allowed more goals than he had in the previous three games combined. Coach Claude Julien says during the playoffs, there's not much time to reflect on a loss.
You have to kind of push the games aside, win or lose, and you got to focus on the next one. And we know we have to be better, and we know we can be better.
The series now shifts back to Chicago for Game 5 on Saturday night.
That's Doug Tribou reporting from Boston.
Dan Walsh has been spending a lot of time at his Central Falls condominium this year. Sitting at a laptop computer in his combined office bedroom, he types in the words graphic designer New Hampshire and graphic designer Colorado in search of an opening. Walsh was fired last year from a six-figure management job at CVS. He'll never forget that day last August when his supervisors called him in and confronted him with rumors that he was having a relationship with a subordinate.
It was August 18th. I ended up dating a person that worked for me. So we're still together. We're really happy. She's working now. But, you know, we were given a choice. They asked us what was going on. And, you know, we said, this is what's happening. And, you know, we wish it didn't happen, but this is what's happening. And then eventually both of us were let go. I was let go without a severance, without any kind of fallback plan or anything like that, except for my savings.
Walsh estimates he has sent out 500 resumes in the past 10 months. Most of the time, he says, he hears nothing, not even a rejection email.
The stress is definitely, it's palpable. You know, it's sometimes you forget, you know, you'll be having dinner or, you know, you'll be trying to enjoy something and, you know, oh yeah, I don't have a job. Like, oh yeah, I got to call into unemployment. Oh yeah, I'm not sure, you know, how long the unemployment's going to last for.
Yeah, let's see what they have to offer me today. Nothing. $23 an hour. That's not bad.
A few miles away in Cumberland, 56-year-old Ann O'Reilly is engaged in a similar struggle. She was fired from a daycare center manager's job 15 months ago because of sloppy record keeping. Like Walsh, she's frustrated at the lack of response her resumes are generating.
I send it out and that's it. You know, maybe I've gotten out of the 80, maybe resume, maybe 10. Thank you for replying. You know, a lot of people have applied for this job, blah, 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 type of thing. That's it.
Walsh and O'Reilly are two of Rhode Island's long-term unemployed, a term defined by the federal government as being out of work 6 months or longer. Roughly one in four unemployed Rhode Islanders belongs to that unenviable club, and that doesn't count the people whose benefits have expired or who never qualified for unemployment insurance in the first place.
This is the resume workshop of Network Rhode Island, and we're going to talk about a lot of things within the next couple of hours.
It's not like no one's trying to help them. The State Department of Labor and Training, the DLT, offers workshops like this one in resume writing. The department also hosts a job bank website with a resume posting capacity and counsels the unemployed in job interviewing skills. In addition, the state offers at least 13 other job training and placement programs, many of which focus on a specific group, such as veterans or seniors. Indeed, the state offers such a wide array of programs, long-term unemployed residents are required to sit through an orientation program to educate themselves about all the help that's available to them.
It's not that we mind paying you unemployment insurance, it's we want you to be employed. That's the whole purpose of this. We'll also give you a good overview of what the services that are available through the Network Rhode Island system.
This West Warwick session was run by longtime jobs counselor Max Factor.
What we're here to do is to give you an understanding of what your obligations are when you're collecting unemployment insurance, to assist you in registering on our virtual one-stop, which is EmployRI, to give you some labor market information regarding your jobs or other jobs that might be available, and hopefully make a plan for you or develop a plan for you that'll help you become reemployed.
So why can't these people find jobs? Recent research done by Rand Gayad, a visiting scholar at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, suggests there is a built-in bias against the long-term unemployed. Last year, he sent out 4,800 fake resumes for 600 real jobs. The applicants were unemployed varying amounts of time. He found that an employer was more likely to hire someone who had no relevant experience than someone who had experience but had been out of work more than 6 months. His conclusion? Companies are using software to screen out the long-term unemployed because of a belief that their skills have become rusty or there is something intrinsically wrong with them.
Somebody who's been out of work for so long is somebody who could be a lazy person, somebody who's not really serious about looking for a job, somebody who's been just relying on the unemployment benefit paycheck and just waiting at home doing nothing.
Charles Fogarty, director of the DLT, says the most common mistake the unemployed make is resume writing.
It's amazing to me, even this day and age, that even well-educated people do a very poor job at putting their resume down. And today, particularly when large corporations, you know, have computer programs that scan it, you could have the perfect skill set and experience they need, and if it's not formatted the right way, you're not even going to get considered.
Has anyone not heard from an employer? Not heard from an employer. Okay, so almost everyone in the room has raised their hands that you have not heard from an employer.
Kathy Aguiar, a DLT counselor, teaches the jobless the importance of having a resume that reflects the words the employer uses in a job description.
Your resume is going through a computer before the employer will even look at it with their eyes. Okay? That's a problem. We're going to teach you how to communicate with the employer by using certain words, okay, on your resume.
The roughly 20 jobless people who sit in front of Aguiar in a West Warwick classroom look defeated. That's the look that psychiatrist James Greer sees when he counsels the unemployed at the Providence Center.
People feel like they have lost their meaning in life. I hear people complaining that they feel that they're no longer of use, that they're not valuable any longer. Many of them are parents and feel deeply ashamed that they are not able to care for their families in the ways that they want to. People who've been in traditional so-called breadwinner roles, finding themselves suddenly having to reassess who they are.
Experts counsel the jobless to be open-minded to new lines of work and perhaps even a new home. DLT Director Fogarty concedes some people may have to leave Rhode Island to find gainful employment.
For some people, it may make sense for them to look at job opportunities elsewhere where the economy is stronger. We obviously don't want to lose any well-qualified Rhode Islanders, but individuals have to make that assessment themselves.
Anne O'Reilly and Dan Walsh are trying in their own ways to be flexible. She's branching out from daycare to sales positions. He's willing to move just about anywhere to find a job as a graphic designer. And yes, he plans to marry the woman who cost him his job once he lands a new one.
You paid a deep price for love.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I would do it again in a heartbeat. I'd probably do things a little differently, you know. But, you know, it's funny because, you know, we work so well together.
In the long run, his new love will probably make him happier than his old job ever did. But that doesn't make his current predicament any easier to take. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.